in our history or to the brutality of white supremacy. But it would be disingenuous to pretend that I haven't benefited enormously from a system that has kept whites at the top of the racial hierarchy we invented. This country was born in trauma. Trauma inflicted on the native inhabitants of a land from which they were forcibly removed. Trauma sustained by the generations that have succeeded the kidnapped and enslaved Africans who'd been brought to a continent both foreign and hostile. The trauma of those bystanders who failed to intervene when they could, those who could not intervene at all, and even those who committed the atrocities and continued to perpetuate a system that benefited them at the devastating expense of so many others. In order to understand our current situation, we have to assess the extent of the impact of those early traumas, as well as the knock-on effects of not only ignoring them, but pretending we have somehow transcended them. We most certainly have not. 2020 and the 3 years before and the last many decades have borne that out. When we think of trauma, we typically imagine dramatic, violent, singular events. Rape, a car accident, a mortar shell exploding. Trauma can be quiet and slow, too, occurring over time in a tense drama of sameness, of hopelessness, of unbearable isolation and loneliness, of helplessness. We often fail to recognize that we are being traumatized while we are being traumatized. When I started to write this book in October 2020, I was focused on the historical trends that have combined to leave us vulnerable in the wake of COVID-19, the intersecting economic crisis, and the looming mental health crisis. New York, where I live, had already been on a fairly severe lockdown since March. Our numbers had improved by the fall, but having failed to heed the warning of our experience, COVID cases were spiking throughout the rest of the country. I wondered what it might be like to emerge into a world altered by months of separation, isolation, and division. How would the long-term effects of inactivity, economic uncertainty, boredom, fear of death, and the stress accumulated from all of those things manifest themselves? What form would the trauma take? Of not knowing if you carried a virus that could kill you or those you love? Of feeling like you were taking your life in your hands every time you left your home, of not knowing when it would end, of the most simple tasks being complicated by fear, of constant worrying about your children? How would the trauma play out if you were an essential frontline worker, stocking shelves, making deliveries, working in a COVID ICU, who could do very little to avoid the risk of coming into contact with the virus? And to that burden, add the betrayal by our government, completely unwilling to help us through this unprecedented in our lifetime horror, and actually allowing the horror to happen, allowing it to worsen. Things became much more complicated by the November election. COVID time had already wreaked its havoc, but election time was somehow worse. It's one thing not to know when something will end. It's another thing entirely to know that something will end, but you can't see how. To me, the November 3rd election loomed like a wall, obsidian and monolithic, obscuring all light and beyond which there was no imagining. Even after Election Day passed, we had an uneasy 4 days during which we didn't know the results of the election, giving Donald an opportunity to claim a victory he had not won and to continue the project he'd embarked on months earlier, to undermine people's faith in the ultimate outcome if Joe Biden won. After November 7th, when it seemed we had finally dodged the bullet this country wouldn't survive, the situation grew more dangerous. Not because Donald continued to tell the big lie, but because, instead of silencing him by acknowledging the Biden-Harris victory, members of the Republican Party remained silent, offered excuses for the delay in conceding, or, worst of all, repeated the big lie and championed Donald's attempts to undermine the incoming administration, which included more than 60 lawsuits, all but one of which he lost or were rejected by the court before trial. He continued to have rallies in which COVID was spread with the same carelessness as his lies. He continued to disseminate disinformation on Twitter with the dual purpose of deflecting attention from his decisive loss, while it is true that he received more votes than any Oval Office occupant in history. Joe Biden received at least 7 million more votes than that, and keeping his base angry, overheated, and feeling cheated. Too many people wanted to believe Donald. Too many people were susceptible to his ability.